First, it's the week in Washington. This is the first Wednesday of 2021 not marked by an I word, insurrection, impeachment, or inauguration. But we're seeing the consequences of all three of those playing out in the Capitol. Senators were sworn in yesterday as impeachment jurors. A Senate trial is now scheduled for the former president, despite a failed Republican motion calling it unconstitutional. There's also been a lot of talk around the filibuster and whether it should stay or go. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about how Congress has sorted out its priorities in this unusual month? Do you think this impeachment trial of former President Trump should move forward, or should senators let it go? Call in. Oh, and what do you think about the filibuster? Should that stay or go? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Jennifer Habercorn covers Congress for the LA Times. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, yeah, looking at Wednesdays this year, the 6th, we had the Electoral College vote count and the raid on Congress. The next week, Wednesday, the 13th, we had the impeachment vote in the House coming in as we were on the air. Last week, the inauguration had just wrapped up. Does this kind of feel like more of a normal day, Jennifer, than our last few Wednesdays?
Well, I don't want to jinx it, but as of now, yes, it certainly seems a little more normal, although there's a lot going on in Washington. So it feels a little busier for normal, even for 2021.
Well, and let's start with one of those things making things busier, the impeachment. The House had voted to impeach the president. Now it's in the Senate's hands for a trial. We had this vote led by some Republican senators to say, hey, we can't do a trial. He's out of office. It's unconstitutional. What ended up going down there?
So we had 45 senators support the position that the trial is unconstitutional. And that's noteworthy because there's only 50 Senate Republicans, and 45 of them indicated this was just a procedural vote, but they backed the argument essentially that a Senate trial right now is unconstitutional because former President Trump is now a private citizen. Some of those Republicans left open the possibility that they're going to listen to arguments and could potentially vote to convict. But it's going to be very hard for those 45 Senate Republicans to say, on January 26th, I indicated that I thought this was unconstitutional, and now I'm going to vote to convict. So what those Republicans wanted to do was to send the message that you're never going to get 67 senators, including 17 Republicans, to vote to convict, that impeachment is essentially dead on arrival in the Senate.
That said, it looks like we're going to have some kind of trial. What do we know about when and how?
Yes, there will be a trial. Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer has said that the trial is going to happen. It's going to start no sooner than February 9th. We're kind of in a pause in the trial right now because both sides will have time to write some briefs. When it starts on the 9th or perhaps the 10th, it could be very short. They haven't determined yet how many days the trial is going to be, but there's some of my sources are saying that it could be as few as 3 days. And right now, with the fate of conviction pretty much certain, there's some speculation that both sides kind of want this to be over and done with quickly. Republicans, for obvious reasons, they don't want even more time for a case to build. But Democrats, too, are much more interested now in confirming Joe Biden's cabinet appointments. They want to work on legislation. So they may also be incentivized to do this trial relatively quickly.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Madison. Chris, hi. Are you there, Chris? I feel like we hear Chris and Chris is not hearing us. Let's see. Summing up, it looks like Chris wants impeachment to go forward, saying the riot was the worst of the president's actions. And Chris says President Trump was responsible and there needs to be accountability. We're 3 weeks out, Jennifer, from, you know, the Capitol, where all these senators are and members of the House were and the vice president was being stormed. Are people still talking about, even if they're saying Republican senators saying don't impeach the president, are they still talking about that event and whether the president should be held accountable in some way?
Yes, they're definitely still talking about it. I mean, the physical scars on the Capitol are still in place. There's a door that a lot of lawmakers and reporters like myself walk past every day that still is broken, still is shattered, is sitting in the window pane. So the scars are still there. I mean, keep in mind that this is lawmakers' workplace. Their workplace was stormed. So there's a lot of folks who, you know, were terrified that day and still feel that. So it is interesting to see there's some physical response still to the events of January 6th. But politically, Republicans in particular seem to want to move on. There's not even discussion at this point of a censure. There's a couple members talking about doing some kind of censure, but it really has not picked up any steam. I mean, the Republicans that I was speaking to yesterday were saying, you know, Trump will have gone through two impeachment trials. That should be it. It's really interesting that they're still talking about how their staff members.
Looks like we've got Jennifer Habercorn muted right now. We're talking to Jennifer Habercorn from LA Times, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. You can join in 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on impeachment, the filibuster, and more. Jennifer, do we have you back?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, we lost you for a second there.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. So you're talking about, staff members in Congress and how they went through the event, I think, is where we lost you.
Yeah, so it's interesting to me that a lot of these lawmakers, their staff, you know, went through the events of January 6th. They themselves went through the events, and yet politically, they really want to move on.
Let's move on ourselves to the filibuster now and just setting new rules for this 50-50 Senate, with Democrats having the vice presidential tiebreaker, negotiations between new Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Minority Leader now Mitch McConnell, including McConnell dropping apparently a demand that Democrats promise to not remove the filibuster. Here is Schumer, first of all, speaking on the Senate floor.
I am glad the Republican leader finally relented, and we can move forward now to organize the Senate, set up committees, chairs, and ranking members, and a process for moving bills and nominees to the floor from committees with an evenly divided number of members. I'm glad we're finally able to get the Senate up and running. My only regret is that it took so long.
And now here's Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
The bar for lawmaking is high. It should be high, even if both bodies take turns being slightly frustrated by it. If your legislation can't pass the Senate, you don't scrap the rules or lower the standards. You improve your idea, take your case to the people, or both.
So, Jennifer, can you sum up the argument over the filibuster and how it was getting in the way of getting things done?
Yeah, the filibuster, I think, is going to be one of the really interesting debates of this year in the Senate among Democrats. Democrats are under a lot of pressure from progressives to do away with the filibuster, which is the requirement essentially that most legislation needs 60 votes to pass. Without it, legislation would only require 50 votes to pass, and Democrats have 50 votes. But there's moderate Democrats who are really skeptical about doing away with this, because the Senate is supposed to be an institution that operates with a lot of protections for the minority party. And as McConnell made the point, and some Democrats agree, that legislation should be kind of difficult to pass because it's more sustainable when you have some members of both parties on board. But, you know, the reality is going to be that the Senate is very partisan right now. And if President Joe Biden wants to get any legislation done, he's going to have to get 10 Republican votes, which is a seemingly insurmountable bar he's going to have to reach. So as Biden puts forward more legislation, as Democrats put forward more legislation, if Republicans obstruct those bills, they're going to face more and more pressure to undo this filibuster so that some of Biden's initiatives can become law.
We're talking to Jennifer Habercorn, congressional reporter for the LA Times. It's our weekly look at the top stories in national politics. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. would you want to see Democrats in the Senate get rid of the filibuster to give a shot at getting some of the new president's policies into place? Do you want to see cooperation from Republicans and Democrats? What do you think they could cooperate on? How about a new COVID-19 economic relief? One of the big issues they'll be tackling. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Jennifer Habercorn from the LA Times, looking at some of the top stories in national politics, including the latest in the Senate on impeachment, the filibuster, policy, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on those topics. But we'll go back to your calls now. Marion is with us in Minnesota. Marion, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yep. Go for it, Marion.
Okay. I am disgusted with the way the Republican Party is acting. They are giving the message that if you're powerful, you don't have to face the law, that you're above the law. And that's the message they're giving. Any ordinary citizen who would have done what Trump did, they would be in jail right now. In fact, there are people in jail who stormed the Capitol or who planned it. And he is not being held accountable. The Republicans are giving him another pass on his bad behavior.
Marion, thanks a lot for the call. Jennifer, that's the argument we're hearing from some Democrats in the House and Senate on this. Have people been debating so far pre-trial the merits of the argument of incitement to insurrection? That's the main part of this article of impeachment.
Unfortunately, no. Most of the debate is really on whether the trial is even constitutional. There's Republicans who argue that the trial, because President Trump is now a former president and a private citizen, they say that the trial cannot move forward. Democrats and many legal scholars disagree with that, and they point to the fact that the Senate has, one time at least, held an impeachment trial for a former official after he left office. Also, the Constitution says that a trial can be held for two points. One is the merits of the case, and one is a vote on whether to bar that official from public office in the future. And so they point to that as evidence that, you know, the impeachment trial is not just to punish. It could be for future, to prevent a person from coming back into public office. So that's what the debate has really been on. It has not really been on the merits. I mean, a lot of these lawmakers were witnesses to the riot. They've seen the clips of President Trump on television. And even many Republicans say that Trump bears some responsibility for stirring up the crowd that later stormed the Capitol.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Ziggy now in Richfield. Ziggy, hi.
Hi. I wanted to talk about the filibuster. It's well known that Congress has a hard enough time getting things done, and having to have anything besides a majority vote just seems to impede that progress.
Ziggy, thanks a lot for calling. That's been one of the arguments against the filibuster, Jennifer. But there is always the fear that if we get rid of it while we're in charge, whichever party is the we in this scenario, it's going to still be gone when the other party takes over at some point.
Absolutely. And I think one of the repercussions of getting rid of the filibuster is that you would see legislation really swing back and forth depending on whether one party controls Washington. Take, for instance, the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, that was very controversial. Republicans, when they came into office after passage of that law, said that they wanted to repeal it. They came close to repealing it a couple years ago. They did not have the votes. Even without the filibuster, they would not have had the votes, but it would have made it a lot easier. You look at something like abortion. Republicans in the Senate have voted to ban abortion at 20 weeks. They would have had the votes to do it if not for the filibuster. So I think you'd see a lot of major legislation flip back and forth very rapidly if one party controls the White House, the Senate, and the House.
Thanks a lot for that call. Patrick joins us next in Stoughton. Patrick, hello.
Hello. I'm remembering a couple years ago when the Republicans wanted to jam through a bunch of Court nominations, including the Supreme Court nominations, that they got rid of the 60-vote rule for judges. So, you know, I'm finding Mitch McConnell to kind of be a hypocrite in that, you know, they took it away when it from nominating judges, and judges, you know, is our lifetime appointment. Legislation gets changed over time and modified. So I don't, you know, the Republicans are masterful politicians when it comes to doing this kind of stuff. When
Patrick, they're in- thanks a lot for the call, Patrick. Jennifer, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this has been kind of a spiraling escalation. Democrats got rid of the filibuster for some court appointments. The Republicans in charge got rid of it for Supreme Court. So it's a little back and forth leading up to where we are. Is that right?
Yes, you and the caller are right. We have seen the filibuster really be degraded in the last several years. The difference here is that this is on legislation. Some people draw a distinction between nominations, which is what the filibuster has been eliminated for so far, and legislation. Of course, proponents of getting rid of the filibuster now see little distinction there, but it definitely has been degraded in recent years, yes.
Thanks a lot for that call. We are talking to Jennifer Habercorn from the LA Times, looking at some of the top stories in national politics. Well, let's turn to some policy items that might put this stuff to the test, Jennifer. And one of these is the idea of more COVID-related economic relief, funding for vaccines and so forth coming from the Biden administration. Democrats are looking at maybe if they can't get Republican support, trying another tactic to get that passed without having to get rid of the filibuster. What's going on?
You're right. This is going to be the immediate test of how much appetite Democrats have for bipartisanship and getting rid of the filibuster. So Biden has proposed this large, ambitious COVID relief bill that Republicans are already refusing because they say it's too much money. It's nearly $2 trillion. So Democrats are considering, as soon as next week, moving forward with a special Senate procedure. I don't want to get too far in the weeds, but essentially the Senate has up to two opportunities every year to pass legislation without the filibuster. And they're going to try to use that procedure on this big COVID bill. It's a somewhat complicated process, but essentially means if it's related to the budget, you can pass it with only 50 votes. So they're saying all of this COVID relief is related to the budget. We're going to pass it with 50 votes. Republicans, meanwhile, say, hey, you're, you know, starting the Biden administration by immediately using this special procedure and not even trying to negotiate with us. And they kind of have some merit to that case, that Democrats are trying to say that they're negotiating, but they're really not. They're just moving forward with this process right away. So that may get underway as soon as next week. And it's likely to pass. Democrats are likely to have the votes to move forward with this, but it could risk setting the tone of, you know, more partisanship that we've seen in the last several years.
And part of this is the idea of sending another round of checks. Effectively, people have been talking about $2,000. Democrats in the House did. Some Republicans in the Senate did. President Trump said $2,000. So Biden's saying, hey, $1,400. We'll round that $600 up to $2,000. Given that there was some, you know, there were a couple senators, Republican senators, I think Josh Hawley among them, who were supportive of that $2,000 idea. Is that something that people are thinking might fly?
There is support for checks. I think you're going to lose Republicans on some of the other issues, including the significant price tag. I don't think it'll end up staying at this $1.9 trillion neighborhood. It might come down a bit, but Republicans so far are very skeptical of many parts of this bill, except for checks in some cases, as well as money for vaccines. That really seems to be the point of potential bipartisanship, just throwing a ton of money at beefing up vaccine production and supply.
Let's go back to our callers. Tom is with us now in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi. I was wondering if Jennifer knew of any other states besides Wisconsin where we have a governor, for instance, who's trying to institute common sense COVID responses like masks and social distancing and gathering limits. But we have a Republican legislature that's trying to overturn that.
Tom, thanks for the call. I think this would make, as if this happens, the 10th state without a mask mandate. I'll stick to your area, Jennifer, in federal politics. We've heard some from President Biden on mask mandates, but his powers are limited. He says, yes, you got to wear a mask on federal property. What other kinds of things are we hearing when it comes to anti-COVID efforts?
There's not much talk of any kind of federal mask mandate. I should say that in the Capitol, many lawmakers wear masks. There's some House Republicans who've really resisted that, as well as Senator Rand Paul on the Senate side, but there's widespread mask use. But there is a lot of support for vaccines and ramping up the vaccine supply. And if President Biden is looking for an area where he can find some common ground, that's probably going to be it, because there's very few lawmakers who are against that right now. In fact, many lawmakers got their own early access to the vaccines as part of continuity of government operations. So there is a lot of support for vaccines and distribution on Capitol Hill.
We'll be talking more about COVID-19 coming up after the news. Jennifer, in our last few moments, apart from this big stuff we've been talking about, what else do you have your eye on in the coming week?
Oh, well, between COVID relief and impeachment, those are the biggest things, and they feel quite large. The Senate also needs to just kind of get functioning. We ran into this really interesting problem as part of the filibuster debate, that the Senate couldn't start operating until it made an agreement on what it was going to do on the filibuster. And so it led to a really slow start for President Biden's cabinet nominees. He is at a historically low number of cabinet appointments who've been confirmed, and there's bipartisan concern about that. Of course, Republicans aren't crazy about Biden's Democratic appointees to the cabinet, but the DHS secretary has not been confirmed. That's a really vital national security position. And I think in the coming weeks, we're going to see more opposition from Republicans to some of those cabinet appointments.
Jennifer, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Habercorn covers Congress at the LA Times. She joined us for this week's look at the top stories in national politics, including impeachment, the filibuster, and more.